pray that somehow the Lord redeems our gathering to his heart together right now to be for him and the things he longs for and the things we long for. And so let's pray and jump into the song and let the Spirit start singing it to us and hear what he has for us today. Lord, we thank you for your heart, a heart that we can't even fathom with our own understanding. It's you are so beautiful, and the deep, deep love of Jesus, the deep, deep love of Jesus, the way of your love, the kind that you are in your love, the spirit of your heart, of your being. Everything pales in the light of you, Jesus. To know you is to love you because of who you are. And the more we know and behold the real you with those dove's eyes the Spirit gives us, the more we fall in love. And the things we could not do under the law, and even with loathing and hating our sins and failures, one look in your eyes and one glance into the beauty of your being motivates us in ways we didn't even know was in us. Because we do love you, Jesus. We love you. So please, Lord, let this just be time with you. Not time with scriptures or even a classroom's environment in our heart. Just time with you, Lord. And we pray this in your name, for your heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we may never get out of chapters 3 and 4, 2, 3, and 4. But the approach that the Lord has been giving us is not chapter-based or scripture-based, but really based on our personal relationship with the living, loving person of Jesus. And maybe in some ways, in his great mercy and care, is touching on areas that have kept us too apart, if you will. Kept us apart. And there's things that I believe all of us, I know myself so deeply included, just yearn for. Just yearn. Yearn for him and greater sensitivity, greater intimacy, real oneness, where it is just the flow of him overtaken, crowding out and pushing out all that used to be there of our flesh and old ways, just yearning. And I know that in the sweet opportunities the Lord has given me to just be with some of you, walk together through some of those areas. Even this past week, it's been kind of like a theme of at times getting stuck in the rut of looking at ourselves and being restricted by our failures and our soul and the things that we lack, the things we lack even of love we might feel for him. And becoming so bogged down in that, that it becomes an enemy of the very one we're trying. It's the very one we feel bad about not being with. And I think the only roadmap out of that miry clay, of that quicksand of what can turn into depression and despair and unbelief, for some shame, deep ruts. I believe the way out of that is to know his heart. It's one thing for someone to say, don't look at yourself, that's not important, just turn and look at Jesus, and that's like the watchman kind of saying it to you, saying it to the Shulamite when she's running through those city streets in the first verses of chapter 3. She's running, and man, she probably feel so bad for missing the Lord and not being with him, being so self-centered and so swallowed up of herself and the earth and her soul. And the watchman, who knows, when she came up to them and asked them, "Where is my beloved? Have you seen him whom my soul loveth?" We don't have a record of what they said, but that she had to pass by them. She couldn't find him there. And, you know, maybe, and this is a different approach to the watchman, although I believe there's many angles the Spirit can minister the heart of God in these things to us. But just in this approach to the watchman in chapter 3, the beginning part of chapter 3, we don't know what they said. They could have said everything perfect, like perfect, pristine preaching of the cross and sharing Christ crucified and maybe even declaring in the heart of the bridegroom. I mean, maybe so. Maybe they said all the right things. Maybe they said it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But she had to pass by them. Verse 4 of chapter 3 says, "It was but a little while that I passed from them." And this "I passed from them" is the watchman. I passed from them. I couldn't find him whom my soul loveth just in what they had. I believe in the ministry of the body and all that the Father gave and Christ in resurrection administered to the edification of the saints through the different offices. And yes, the glory, and till we all come, we need his life in those members and all members. But there comes a point when she had to not dismiss what they said, but pass by them and find him. And I think we need to remember that the night when she, or the hours when she is, "But a little while I passed from them," those hours when she passed from the watchman, that was some tough hours. I mean, those are the hours where darkness and demons and accusations and carnal mind and rejection, regret, depression, the law, pressure. I mean, there's just this mob of dark creatures within and without, crowding and pressing and pushing and trying to get you so bound up in shame and failure and impossibilities that you just can't even, you're paralyzed. You can't move for the fear in the night. There's so much fear in the night before you find him whom your soul loves. And that fear, you just, it's like you can't think because confusion. There's too many voices. There's not just one voice. There's just, And fear in the night is discussed at the end of chapter 3. And it's discussed on the basis of expert in war folks who knew how to use the word as a double-edged sword. But let's not go too far now. Let's talk about the beginning. When she's not found him yet, and there's so much fear in the night, when there is no finding of him yet, when there is no, man, I found him, and I'm pouring my heart over him, and I'm joining with him, and I'm taking him. And I mean, all there is I failed him, and he's not here, and maybe I need to get under the law. Maybe I need to just cry all day and promise that I'll never do it again. Maybe I need to try to earn it back. Maybe I need to just fake it so I can survive. Maybe I need to open up to the devil and just get depressed, or allow my soul to win and just forget it. Just forget it. I'm just going to live for self because this is too confusing. The fear is too great. The darkness is overwhelming. I mean, this is Bible school. This dark night of the soul is when the song starts being sung or not. This is real relationship with Jesus. We are crying out, Lord, I don't want to just be a book learner. I don't want to just be learning things in a school or hearing sermons in a church service or just doing my ministry work or my mission work in the areas you've given me to be faithful. And I know you know my works, but what about first love? You said that to the Ephesian church, Lord. You said, I know thy works, but I have this against you. You've fallen from first love. Lord, I want the real thing. And then we find ourselves running in the middle of city streets in darkness with fear all around us and our soul tempting us and the enemy pushing against us and fear rising and the law screaming and our mind confused and our depression overwhelming and every force within and without. Paul said, I despaired of life in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 before he found him whom his soul loveth. Paul was like, my Lord, the things, the pressures from within and without that try to overtake this vessel, that this vessel had a treasure in it. Not just a committed soul, not just a demon-free environment, not just a shining light that cast away all fear. I have a treasure in me, but I can't find him yet. I need to find him whom my soul loveth, who is the day star that will dawn in my heart. I need to take him in, and no watchman can be that or do that. I need the real Jesus. And so the Lord, who loves us more than we could ever fathom, gives us a dark night, or allows a dark night, and blesses us with our own song of songs, our own story, our own relationship, our own opportunity to experience what everyone who really knows him experiences, the dark night of their soul, fear in the night, pressures from within and without, opportunity after opportunity to go with the crazy, crazy confusion and the deep, dark depression and the overwhelming pressure to do it by the law and the temptation to just fake it to make everyone else think you're spiritual. We all have it. We all been there, are there, will be there. It's the common path. We all got a soul. The devil's against the seed that's in every born-again Christian. Circumstances and trials come. Failure ensues till Christ is formed in all of us. But this is where it gets good. Good. I always called it the bittersweet. Times were never worse, but Jesus was never sweeter. You know, that's so true. You're like, dang, I never want to go through that again. But I would never give it up, because the Jesus that my soul found in that dark night is like the most real Jesus I have in my life. I didn't get that Jesus from doing my homework. I didn't get that Jesus from the Holy Spirit opening up the Word and unveiling depths to me and illuminating spiritual realities and unveiling all mysteries and all knowledge. And I just saw great things. No, that night, that dark night of my soul, when I was tempted by the devil and Satan, and the law came demanding, and the watchman could not help me. That was my personal Jesus time where I found him, and I got him. She says, and this is all chapter 3, verse 4, I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. I would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, the womb of my spirit. And that watchman's Jesus, and that teaching's Jesus, and that missionary Jesus, and that illumination Jesus became my Jesus. He's mine now. I don't have to go here, there, anywhere, because he's in my mother's house. He's in me. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in my mother's house, my spirit, the womb within me, my mother's house. I found him. I held him. I would not let him go, and I brought him in. That's four phases of fabulous. Can we call that the four phases of fabulous? Better than the Fab Four, which is not Jesus. Listen, a lot of people are satisfied to find him. I found him. I found him. I found him in the Word, and I'm okay. You're not okay. You're still in the dark night of your soul. You found him, but he's not in that place of first love where he can live and breathe. Other people say, I found him, and it was amazing, and I held him. That's the second phase of fabulous. I held him, but I let him go because something happened, and it was just way more important to me to let my soul have its way or be seen of men again. This area just drives me nuts to no end, and I need to just spew a little bit of venom because, unjust, and I can't believe anyone would have to deal with this. So you let him go. You lost him. You held him, but you lost him. But the third phase of fabulous is I would not let him go. Jesus was tempted 40 days. No food, Satan, everything else. And he did not let his father go. And that same Jesus is in us. And that same heart, that new heart that God gave us in the new covenant at new birth, is in us to say, Jesus, I ain't going to let you go either. I'm going to let you go when my soul is trying to rip and tear, get you out, and fear in the night's trying to push me this direction and that direction. I'm holding. Remember, I think it was chapter 1 towards the end, maybe the beginnings of chapter 2 in the Song of Songs, where she said, my beloved is like a bundle of myrrh unto me that I held all through the night. So she knows this kind of love. She's had this love with him before, this quality love. But she said, my beloved is a bundle of myrrh. And myrrh is an embalming ointment that is referred to with burial and even suffering. It speaks of the Lamb being with him and his nature, his suffering, his being. The crucified. She said, oh, I held my beloved like a bundle of myrrh in my heart through the night. This is Song of Songs in chapters before chapter 3. Oh, she knows how to be with him in this way. It's just getting tried and tested deeper so that he can be formed greater within her. And this relationship can have foundations and roots deeper into her that will carry her through much greater things than this, through lions and leopards and creatures that come to destroy and devour. Oh, she's learning things in the dark night of her soul that she could never learn any other way, any other place. She needs this. He knows it. And we go, well, if he knows it, why would he allow me to go through this kind of what I call torture and even maltreatment, that I would be left alone without his presence, and that he knows my susceptibilities, he knows my fears, my tendencies, he knows that I don't really understand. I tend towards depression, and my mind gets legalistic, and I have all these things in the earth that feed that and affirm that in the sense realm. Why would he do this to me, allow this? He's God. Why is he allowing it? Doesn't he know it's going to destroy us? Oh, he knows it's going to build us. It's going to deepen the relationship. It's going to lay foundations. It's going to make them a forever thing. Take what was just a temporal relationship with Jesus and thrust it into eternity. Oh my God, he's so good. He's so perfect in all his ways. He knows. He's a wise master builder. He is the wise master builder. And he knows how to build up that bride, build up that church, build up the bulwarks that stood in the face of, oh my gosh, the sense realm opposition. And he says in one of the Psalms, when he's declaring his bride, the New Jerusalem, Zion, as it's called so affectionately in the Psalms by David, mark ye well her bulwarks. Mark ye well her bulwarks. She stood with me in the dark night of her soul. And she didn't just stand. She was built up into me as a habitation. She brought me into her mother's womb, and I was able to inhabit her. Mark ye well. Because every one of those bulwarks in that Zion, in that New Jerusalem, which is really the wife of the Lamb, the New Jerusalem, which is from above, it speaks of in the book of Revelation. That's really his bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's not just a building. It's a being. It's a corporate being that has been built up into union with Christ crucified, one with the Lamb, because she used all those opportunities in the dark night of her soul to be built into his habitation instead of her own soul's habitation. Her soul wanted to win the day. Her soul wanted to take the night. Her soul wanted to be the one that dictated and led. And she said no to her soul. There was a death that happened inside of her heart. Every time she said no and denied her soul to keep holding him, to not let him go, because her soul wants to let him go. You know, the four phases of fabulous. I found him, I held him, I would not let him go, and I brought him in. You can trust that her soul wanted to let him go. The minute it got scary, uncomfortable, confusing, let him go. This ain't worth it. And I am not going to go through this again, because this is painful. It's a horrible thing for me. Man, her soul's saying, let it go. Just let it go. Just quit. Just surrender to confusion, depression, religion. Just be. Survive somehow, but I can't find him. I can't find him. It's impossible. Can't find him. You know, that soul wanted to inhabit her mind, her decisions, the way she saw things, the way she heard things, the way she deciphered the commandments of his heart. They're just rules. I've got to keep them or I'll be in trouble. And her soul was there every step of the way to dictate and win the day instead of be denied, which would require a death, a real death, just death. You know, we talk about death all the time. And Jesus said, deny your soul, pick up your cross and follow me. Let death come to that soul in a very practical daily way where it's no longer running the show. And pick up that cross that I made you one with my son, that Jesus said, I made you my bone, my flesh, habitation, and let me lead you from within. You can make that way more than a brochure about discipleship or a book about how to follow Jesus. You can write that in your story every day, that our soul says, today's the day that I'm going to guide you and interpret everything and pretty much run your life. And maybe you'll get a little bit of quiet time in the morning and the evening when I am happy and content because I have no absolute issues to deal with. And I'll feel close to God in those few moments each day. But baby, the rest of the day, 23 point whatever hours is mine. Or maybe I'm sleeping 9 hours and he's going to get the other 10 of the rest of it. I don't know. But the souls wants to take over. All we have to do, we can't change. The Bible doesn't say, make your soul not be your soul. Make your soul have perfect peace and clarity all day long. Just feel so spiritual and close. And yeah, I say, you just said, just deny it. That baby needs to be put in the grave or D-night, turn around and let your spirit guide. Let the Lamb that's in you go. Be your mind. Let that mind be in you. Let Him be the head and the life. Jesus, the one you're joined to through death. Wow, man, that's being written in our story. You say, oh my gosh, man, when I was in Bible school or when I got in this horrible crisis, whatever it is, they happen all the time. Doesn't take a virus. It's all the time while we're down here on the earth. All the different colors, all the different varieties, it's there. But all those are opportunities to find Him whom my soul loveth, and let it be written in my story. Today's the day where the Song of Solomon is going to be my song. Written, I mean, it's His song, but it's going to be sung inside of me. And I'm going to, maybe today's going to be awful outwardly, and maybe my soul's going to be raging inside of me. But I have a free will. I have a free will. I may not be able to change my soul, but I can deny it. I may not be able to like how this feels, but I can follow Jesus. I can bring Him in by faith through oneness because it's true. He made it true when He died. I can yield to that truth by saying, Jesus, take the throne. In this little thought, it's just a thought. It's just a thought. It's not this huge thing. It's just this one moment where I want to open my mouth and say something that is going to release my soul so I can just get it out. In that moment, here comes the song. I'm going to run through those streets and I'm going to find Him. I'm going to hold Him. I'm not going to let Him go, and I'm going to bring Him in. And I'm going to enthrone Him. And this is going to be the day that I find Him. Right here, right now, I'm using this situation for first love to come back into my life. And everything the devil is doing and everything my soul is screaming about and all the confusion that's in my mind and all the legalism that's trying to push me this way and that is going to be part of what's working to make this love story real. And I'm going to prove that it's real because all these forces within and without are testing it, and it's going to shine to the eyes of Jesus. Man, and that love's going to start catching on fire in my heart. You start living by first love, you start loving Jesus like that. Not just in the deep spiritual, traditional, whatever we call them, ways. But this real time. Ooh, it gets good. Does it feel good to your soul? Probably not. Do your circumstances look good? Probably look worse. Probably gets worse in this. Oh, but that relationship. Just must make the devil mad that he's like, well, I'm doing everything I can to destroy that relationship. This person should just be wanting to just quit. Just quit the Lord. Just forget it, man. Enough. Instead, they're finding Him in deeper ways. The Lamb is manifesting. Good Lord. Are they building a little altar right now? Oh, what are we doing? No, oh my gosh, they're lighting the altar. What's that coming up from the wilderness? Do not tell me that is pillars of smoke perfumed with Lamb nature, myrrh, and frankincense. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness? Oh, I know what she looks like when she's running through those city streets freaked out. That ain't her. What has she done? All of a sudden, I'm looking down. I'm supposed to see a person laying there in depression, fuming in unforgiveness, saying it's impossible under the law and with the devil. And instead, I am seeing a fire lit, an altar built, and the sweet savor of the Lamb ascending up here to God. The principalities and power, they're in the high places. They're not up there in heavenly places, but they're in the high places. And that sweet savor is just making an open show. See you later, bye. I'm on my way to the bosom of the Father. Yeah, you thought you were going to run the day. But the cross, the Lamb, the victory of His death in human, fragile vessels of clay makes an open show of you. I belong to Jesus, and He is my life. Who is this? That is not the girl, the guy I knew. Oh no, that's that new creation. That's that sweet savor offering coming out of that new creation. That's somebody who it's no longer I but Christ. And it wasn't that from some weird revelation experience that just zapped him with woofle dust and woo, I'm different. I'm so different. I just had this great unveiling of the word and now I'm changed. I mean, yeah, we need a great unveiling of the word where we see him and are changed. And that change carries us through daily things where it is a whole new manifestation of his nature and not our soul. Our fears, our legalism, our constant going back into depression and all our... Remember where it started. I got to pass by all these things that keep tripping me up and find him whom my soul loveth. Man, that little journey of the heart ends up in a daggum full-on transformation where all of a sudden the Lamb's so strong coming out of you that no one even recognizes who you are. That's chapter 3, now verse 6. Just two verses down from the fabulous 4 chapter, verse 4 of chapter 3. Two verses after she goes through those four stages of fabulous to get him all the way, she's changed so much that they don't even know who she is anymore. It's Jesus in her coming out. Man, that's powerful. That is the Jesus that I want. And I don't care. People can say, oh my gosh, the Lord's using you in this way. Oh my gosh, you're doing so much for the kingdom. Oh my gosh, this song or that thing you wrote or that ministry, means nothing. I mean, I don't know. To me, I don't know what it means. If it's not the Spirit of the Lamb, to me, it pretty much is nothing. But if I'm running through those city streets and the devil's on my back and my soul's trying to push me around and fear in the night's trying to make me confused and terrified, and I say, oh, Jesus, I'm going to find you. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to not let you go. I'm going to bring you in. Now, that's something. Because the end of that little journey is that it's no longer I but Christ. And I know that Christ is something to the Father. Oh, that's the glory. I mean, I don't know. That's to me. That's when it gets good. And we don't have to be in a ministry to do that. We have to be in a relationship of the cross. Cross love. Calvary love. Lamb love. God love. And we can find that. We've been brought into that when he died and made us one. We are partakers of the divine nature. We have access into this way. We just got to seek and find with all our hearts and be so taste and see that the Lord is good. No, the watchmen can talk about it. We can believe them, and it can be the Lord. But oh, to be like the Shulamite and taste it in her own dark night, and to see him in the womb of her spirit, and to experience him rising out of her like perfumed smoke with his nature and essence, oh, rising to the Father, out of the trial, out of the crisis, out of the night. Oh, taste it. Make it ours. Who cares if it's true? I want it to be true in me. Who cares if it's possible? I want to experience it. And you know, I always, and now I'm just kind of talking personally and we could go further, but I don't want to go further. I want to just be with the Lord and with the dear ones that are so preciously hungry for him here. I always kind of, you know, there's time I get down. I'm like, why am I such a dummy? I just get so entangled with confusion and I must just be a perfect target for the enemy because he can just pretty much confuse me and make me terrified and I seem to just get all caught up in it and I don't know how to get out and my soul is just a monster. And legalism, just so legalistic even when I first came to the Lord, it was just like, wow, I don't even know how to properly repent without, you know, doing a penance and saying a bunch of Our Fathers and trying to earn my way back to good relationship. I was like, what kind of a mess am I? This is like the worst material possible. Who am I fooling? What am I doing? This is just going to be a very difficult and uncomfortable journey into probably nowhere because of just all my problems. I'm a mess. until the Lord, the beautiful, wonderful, incredible Jesus, said, you know, all those horrible things that truly are the way you are can be redeemed if you allow them to bring you to me in these ways. Oh, those things can drive you straight into the heart of Jesus. Even in ways if you were so strong and wise, you never could. Just be mine. Just be mine. Love me. Love me there. Love me right there. Right in the middle of your confusion. Right in the middle of your depression. Right in the middle of your legalism and terror in the night. Right in the middle of your soul crying out for deliverance. Right in the middle of the screams of, I can't do this. Let your heart rise. Let your love for Jesus start singing songs in the night. You know, we always think about songs in the night having to be like, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I got a song from the Lord. Therefore, I got a song in the night. And the only time you get a song in the night is between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. No, in my opinion, which means nothing, a song in the night is a song in the dark night of your soul, which can be any hour of the day or night. Because spiritually you're in the night, and darkness is all around you, and everything's pressing you, saying it's impossible, you can't, no way. And that little brand new God-given heart, that new spirit, that eternal spirit where Jesus is in us, we've been made new by his life, start singing. Singing in that barren wilderness, singing in that beast-infested dark field, singing in that legalistic corner we've been pushed into, singing, singing a song in the night. And those songs in the night are just like, what? Who would expect a song to pierce through this dark night, this horrible situation? Who would sing right now? The wife of the Lamb would. Well, you're not the wife. You can't. Or one who's coming into that relationship. Well, you can't sing like that until you've got it formed in you. No, that's how you get it formed in you. That's where it comes from. How do you think that Jerusalem got her bulwarks? Where do you think the new Jerusalem that he's so proud of? Mark you well, her bulwarks, like a husband proud of his wife. Look at this. Why? Where do you think she got those that make his heart so glad? In the dark night of her soul, when she sang the song of songs in the night, songs in the night. She held him and wouldn't let him go. She found him. She held him. She wouldn't let him go, and she brought him in. That's where that comes from. That comes from those times that seem so impossible and far from that. That's where that's built. That's where it starts. That's the building ground. Praise God. If we could only see it, we'd start building. We'd start building the bulwarks and the little altars and singing the songs in the night. And just being with the one we love instead of being swallowed up of the darkness. Well, praise God. Let's do it. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Why not? Every day's got about a million opportunities. Why? Let's just do it. Let's not live in temporal soul earth stuff. Let's live with God from our hearts and just love him. Just love him in the middle of all. Despite it, no matter, not even thinking about, just love him there. I'll love you there, Jesus. That's good enough for me. So that's what we got. Well, let's just love there. Let's just love there. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we do want to be with him whom our soul loves in ways that will build us up into that wife, that habitation that makes your heart glad. Oh, Lord, if we could look into the walls, the stories in every little brick, We'd see old dark nights of confusion and despair redeemed by someone laying hold of him whom their soul loveth and bringing him in. We'd see the story. We look at the foundations and we'd see that same journey. Every nook, every cranny, every brick, every stone laid in union with you, the crucified, in the midst of our enemies, our own souls, the impossibilities, and yet a heart that chose by its own free will, yes, yes, I love not my life. I count it not precious. I count your life more precious, even unto the death of my soul, even unto the death of my dreams and desires and the things that I thought I must have to be fulfilled in this lifetime. Jesus, you are my fulfillment, and you fill me full with you. You're my song. You're my victory. By you alone do I overcome, and because I come to you, because I come to you, I overcome. Not because anything changes, but because I came unto you, Lord, the one I love, and loved you there. So, Father, help us to more live by love, by first love. Help it to be real, so practical, so daily. Help it to be like a bundle of myrrh and songs in our daily walk. Help us to see things different and be with you in ways that are so sweet, even though it's so bitter around it. I ask that, Lord, for everybody who will ever listen to this class. Holy Spirit, not because we are worthy, not because we're even praying, but because for Jesus' sake, because you love Jesus so much, and that we're the ones that were given to him in this way, help them for him. We just agree with your heart together, even those listening, we agree together, for you to be released in this way. We believe it for Jesus' sake, and we say yes and amen, as it is in the heavens of your heart, be it in the earth of us, Lord, and all those who love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, God.